Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everybody, welcome to this episode of La Liga Lowdown's club podcast series. This is a series where we go through the story of every La Liga club, and this time around, we're going to be telling the story of Real Sociedad. I'm Hugh McTeer and I'm your host, and we've got some great guests coming up as we tell this story. We start off by listening in to some of Real Sociedad's greatest moments to get in the mood.
Campeón Real Sociedad, como nuestro teleprinter lo expresa ante ustedes, campeón, sin duda, sin tacha, como corresponde a un campeón.
Va a llegar Vela, en la línea de fondo pon la Vela, balón para Griezmann, Griezmann chuta.
¡Bueno!
¡Golazo de la Real Sociedad!
De la línea, ahí va el lanzamiento, pita el árbitro, le pega Oyarzabal, pierna izquierda.
We heard there the sounds of Real Sociedad's most recent La Liga win, their most recent qualification for the Champions League, and their most recent Copa del Rey success. That Copa del Rey success, of course, was very recent. So, let's hear about how Real Sociedad came to be and how they came to be so successful. We've got Paco Pollock coming up with the Real Sociedad origin story after a quick listen in to the club hymn.
The origins of Real Sociedad reflect a common theme in the Basque Country at the turn of the 20th century. Students returned from the United Kingdom and began to set up sporting clubs, with football emerging across the region, including San Sebastian, a beautiful northern coastal city. The new football club shared its facilities with the cycling club at Atocha, and they eventually merged. It was under the name Club Ciclista de San Sebastián that they won the Copa del Rey in 1909. This is included on La Real's honors list, though some would dispute it on this technicality. Sociedad de Fútbol was then officially founded in September 1909, with Sociedad meaning society and with the football term separating the club from its cycling past. A year later, they were given royal patronage by King Alfonso XIII and thus became known as Real Sociedad. Their familiar blue and white colors, the Churiurdin, reflect the colors of San Sebastián's flag. In the inaugural La Liga season, 1928-29, La Real were the top scorers in the league, with 46 in just 18 games, and their forward Paco Bienzobas was the first winner of the Pichichi with 16 goals. This is the only time La Real has ever had a Pichichi winner. However, they weren't able to win the title, finishing fourth. Then, in 1931, there was a three-way tie between La Real, Athletic Club and Racing Santander. Unfortunately for La Real and their English coach Harry Lau, their inferior head-to-head meant they finished third. The 1940s were a decade of turbulence in the aftermath of the Spanish Civil War. La Real became a yo-yo club. They were promoted four times and relegated on three occasions in just nine seasons. In 1957, San Sebastián Club de Fútbol was formed, the club's B team, now known as Sanse. Its importance to the club cannot be underestimated, and it serves as the link between the club's renowned youth academy, Zubieta, and the first team. The heyday for the club undoubtedly arrived in the 1980s. Basque football was on the rise and becoming the preeminent force in Spanish football. La Real won back-to-back league titles in 1981 and 1982, the only times they have been Spanish league champions. The signs were already positive. In 1979-80, coached by former player Alberto Ormaechea, the Churiurdin had been unbeaten in the first 32 matches of the season. Agonizingly, defeat to Sevilla in the penultimate game left them 1 point behind Real Madrid. Ultimately, too many draws had cost them. The next season, they went again. They actually underperformed compared to their previous campaign, but finished strongly, winning five in a row going into the final game. They were 1 point clear of Real Madrid, and remember, it was 2 points for a win back then. Real Madrid beat Real Valladolid, so La Real needed a draw away at Sporting Gijón to take the title on head-to-head. But in torrential conditions at El Molinón, they were losing with just minutes left to play. Jesús María Satrústegui had been their top scorer, but it was his namesake, Jesús Zamora, who came up with the goal, a 89th-minute equaliser that clinched their first league championship, with Real fans rejoicing long into the night. Their European Cup debut ended at the first hurdle, but they retained the league title, again finishing their season strongly. Despite crashing out of the Copa on penalties in the semis, they held their nerve to reach the top of La Liga, but they had to win the final game to seal it, given their inferior record against Barcelona. At a packed Atocha Stadium, they defeated rivals Athletic Club with a 2-1 scoreline. If the previous season had been agony turned to ecstasy, this was the sweetest possible way to win again. In 1983, La Real were competing on four fronts: La Liga, Copa, Supercopa, and European Cup. They won their first and only Supercopa, overturning a first-leg deficit against Real Madrid in the new two-team format. They also achieved their best-ever continental performance by reaching the European Cup semi-finals, but lost to eventual winners Hamburg. After 7 years in charge, Ormaechea was replaced by John Benjamin Toshack. The Welshman led the team to the Copa in 1987. They put 10 goals past Mallorca in the quarters before defeating Athletic in the semi-finals, winning the second leg away at San Mamés. In the final, they went ahead twice in Zaragoza, but Athletic pegged them back both times. La Real, though, eventually won 4-2 on penalties. Yet, this would be their last trophy for over three decades. Without doubt, one of the most significant moments of the 20th century was the club's decision to change their transfer policy. Like Athletic Club, they had always used Basque or homegrown players, but were frequently usurped in the market by their bigger, wealthier neighbors. Their brightest talent was also picked off by the likes of Barca. So, in 1989, they took the decision to sign foreign players, but not non-Basque Spaniards. It was a compromise the hierarchy hoped would be acceptable to fans. The reality was a bit more complicated. The first foreigner to be signed was lovable Irish scouser John Aldridge. Fans were vehemently opposed at first, scrawling graffiti amid a wave of hostility. Despite this, Aldridge soon settled and scored 6 in his first 8, including a brace against Barca, the winner against Atleti in the Copa, and a goal against Real Madrid. His work ethic and committed performances helped to win over the supporters, who began to see tangible benefits of this new approach in transfers. As Real Sociedad entered the new millennium, several new and exciting players would be signed. Some more great moments were still to come.
That's right, there were some great moments up ahead, so let's hear about those now as Roman de Arcar picks up the narration.
To talk about Real Sociedad in the 21st century, it's better to jump straight to the 2002-2003 season, in which they finished the league in second place, just 2 points behind Real Madrid. They completed a wonderful campaign, with a squad made up of players such as Valery Karpin, Xabi Alonso, De Pedro, or the attacking duo Kovacevic and Nihat, who scored 20 and 23 goals respectively. In fact, Real Sociedad were the team to spend more time at the top of the standings, mainly from matchday 6 to 23. They then had a bit of a slump, dropping down to 3rd, but would return to the top in matchday 34 with just 4 games left till the end of the season. They held on for the next 2 games, but in the penultimate match, a 3-2 defeat versus Celta de Vigo saw Real Madrid take over and end their hopes of their 3rd Spanish league title, given that Los Blancos would defeat Athletic Club by 3-1 in the last game of the season to seal their overall victory. A tough blow which at least gave them the opportunity of playing in the Champions League the following season. Juventus, Olympiacos and Galatasaray were the teams they had to face in a tough group from which they managed to pull through. They finished 2nd with 9 points behind Juventus and met Olympique de Lyon in the round of 16. But 2-1-0 defeats against the French side ended their European journey. The worst part was that due to all the effort they were putting into the Champions League, their domestic league performances were being affected in a negative way. By the time the group stage had finished, Real Sociedad only had 15 points in 15 games, and were in the relegation zone. Shortly after, in the month of January, they bounced back and achieved a good run of results, but they would end up flirting with those bottom positions for most of the season, ultimately avoiding the fall by a 5-point margin. The following seasons would be tough for Real Sociedad, institutionally, economically, and in terms of football. The squad was very far off from the level it had displayed when they were runners-up to La Liga, always finishing in the bottom half of the standings, until the 2006-2007 season when it all went wrong for them. Despite completely renewing the squad in hopes of not having to suffer as in previous years, the complete opposite happened, and Real Sociedad finished 19th, ending a 40-year streak in the Spanish top tier. They would remain away from La Liga for 3 years and would have to celebrate their 100th anniversary in 2009 in Segunda División. But at least they wouldn't have to wait much longer to return to Primera, given that they went on to win the league. Since then, Real Sociedad have avoided falling back down, only struggling slightly in the 2010-2011 campaign right after their return. From there on, they've always managed to qualify 12th or higher. In 2013, they even finished 4th in La Liga in Champions League positions, partly thanks to their feared attacking trident formed by Antoine Griezmann, Carlos Vela and Imanol Aguirreche. Although they had to go through the playoff round where they met an old acquaintance, Olympique de Lyon. This time, they got their revenge with a convincing 4-0 win after 2 legs. Yet Real Sociedad would not get any other win in the Champions League after drawing a tough group with Manchester United, Bayer Leverkusen and Shakhtar Donetsk. They only managed 1 point in a 0-0 draw versus United. The rest were all defeats. But the disappointment was quickly forgotten with a fantastic Copa del Rey run which guided them to the semi-finals. They dispatched Algeciras, Villarreal and Racing de Santander, but then fell to Barca 3-1 on aggregate, missing out on the final. In the league, they dropped to the 7th spot in the last match day, but luck was on their side given the 2 Copa finalists were Barca and Real Madrid, which opened up an extra spot to fight for Europa League positions, which went to them. But they didn't make the most of that opportunity given they lost to Krasnodar 3-1 on aggregate after defeating Aberdeen 5-2 in the previous qualifying round. Real Sociedad would continue to put on decent performances in La Liga until 2017 when they finished 6th and got another shot at Europa League. A second position in the group stage took them straight to the round of 16 where they faced Red Bull Salzburg in a very close tie which ended 4-3 on aggregate for the Austrian side. But then came Imanol Alguacil in 2018 to build something special. At first he was just used as a caretaker to finish that ongoing campaign, but he was then given a second opportunity that same year in December after Asier Garitano failed to meet expectations. And what a good decision that was. He got La Real to finish 9th while he developed plenty of talent from the club's youth system and then took the team a step further the following season by finishing 6th. He also got them to the Copa del Rey final after overcoming tough opponents Espanyol, Osasuna, Real Madrid and Mirandés to then meet eternal rivals Athletic Club in the grand finale. Although the game wasn't played until 2021 given the COVID-19 pandemic, After almost 12 months of waiting, Real Sociedad managed to lift their third Copa del Rey after a 1-0 win thanks to an Oyarzabal goal from the penalty spot. A long wait for more silverware, but definitely worth it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
That Copa del Rey success really was deserved for Real Sociedad, a club doing things the right way, a club with values, a club with traditions. We're going to discuss now some of the individuals who have made La Real what they are, and we do so with Matt Clark. Matt has the difficult task of picking just 3 Real Sociedad legends to talk about. Here are the 3 he selected.
Alberto Ormaeche was an unassuming defender who enjoyed a decent playing career, but it was his time as coach that he truly made his mark. First, he became assistant to head coach José Antonio Irulegui, and in 1978 he took the reins himself. His 7-year tenure was the most decorated chapter in Real Sociedad history. He led the team to 38 La Liga matches unbeaten between April 1979 and May 1980, a record which remains intact to this day. Their very first league title arrived in 1981 in the reign of Asturias, and it was retained in 1982, sealed with a final day win over Athletic Club at Atocha. The Supercopa followed, as well as a semi-final of the European Cup, the furthest the club has ever reached in European competitions. Ormaeche sadly passed away in 2005, but is remembered with a monument outside Anoeta. He would have been immensely proud to see Imanol Alguacil emulate his pathway and win a trophy for his beloved La Real. Jesús María Satrústegui was a native of Pamplona, but he made a big impact in Guipúzcoa. Another one club man, he made his debut in September 1973 and scored his first goals in a 2-1 away win at Mestalla 6 months later. By the time he retired in 1986, he had scored 163 goals in 375 appearances. He remains the club's all-time record goalscorer. He was integral in their title-winning campaigns. He was the team's top scorer in 1980-81 with 16, many of them crucial for victories. The following year, he was part of a trio up front who all made double figures as La Real retained their title. Satrústegui's winning goal against Espanyol proved crucial in sending his side joint top with 2 games to go. Unfortunately, this was the last time he registered double figures for the season in the league, after 6 on the bounce. A serious knee injury plagued him and eventually forced him to retire. I could have picked another from the golden era of the early 1980s, or I could have even made a case for Mikel Oyarzabal or Imanol. In 10 years' time, perhaps, they may be guarantees. But for now, I've gone with a recently retired legend. Xavi Prieto was born in San Sebastian, was a boyhood fan, then became another one club man, serving for 15 years and eventually becoming captain. He had a particular attraction to scoring against Real Madrid. A brace in 2004 in his first game against Los Blancos, which ended in a 4-1 win, and in 2013 he scored his only hat-trick against them, albeit in a losing cause. With 530 appearances for La Real, he is 5th in their all-time list. These games came across La Liga, Segunda, the Copa, the Champions League and the Europa League, a wide variety of stages. Bafflingly, he was never capped for Spain. In his final home game in 2018, Real Sociedad replaced their club crest on their shirts with a retro graphic of his face. If that doesn't prove how much of a legend he is, I'm not sure what will. his final farewell came at Camp Nou and fittingly coincided with Andres Iniesta's final Barcelona game. Needless to say, there was universal appreciation and an emotional ovation for this unique pair as they said adios. Xabi Prieto truly lived the dream.
It's always special when your club has players or captains who are fans of the club themselves, and that was the case with Xabi Prieto. Let's now talk about the fan base at Real Sociedad and about what a home match is like. We'll do so with Phil Ball, who has lived in the city for 3 decades. Here's Phil to explain what it's like to support Real Sociedad.
Well, I think the first thing you have to understand about the Real Sociedad scene is that the club is situated in the city of San Sebastian, and San Sebastian is the most expensive city in Spain. We're talking about a region called Guipúzcoa, which is wealthy, and Basques are reserved anyway, but wealthy Basques are even more reserved, you know. So I think that what happens is that this is a club, this is a city where people don't really want to look as though they've got nothing else to do. And so I think that conditions a little bit, not so much the match day experience, but certainly the sort of atmosphere that surrounds the club. You know, the noisier element of Real Sociedad are always go crazy about this. They don't like it. They prefer it to be much more like the Bilbao experience, if you like. But this is also conditioned a little bit by the history of the club, because when I came here 30 years ago, they were still playing in the famous Atocha Stadium. Atocha was a smaller ground. It looked a bit like Loftus Road, QPR, England. It looked typically like an English ground. And it was tightly packed to the rafters. It was kind of hostile. And it was also set in Eguía, a neighbourhood which is about the closest you'll get to a working-class neighbourhood in the centre of San Sebastián. What happened is that when that moved, it moved to a neighbourhood called Amara, which is kind of neither here nor there. I'd say it's probably a lower middle class neighbourhood, let's say, again, just off the centre of the city. Anoeta itself was built with an early 90s aesthetic, you know, and the aesthetic was very nice, but it was unfortunately rather cold and the atmosphere didn't really work. Certainly it was a huge contrast to Atocha, and Real Sociedad fans pretended to like it for a few years, but then they became vocally against it. It had an athletics track around it, you know, a little bit like the German clubs of the 80s, and it just didn't work. Nobody used the athletics track, and it distanced the supporters from the action. It just didn't work, really. I mean, it's quite surprising that they kept it there for so long, but it was a municipal project. It's much better now, because even though it's in exactly the same place, the ground's been remodeled on a more postmodern aesthetic, let's say, but the ground's much more tightly packed, the acoustics are much better, and the matchday experience is far, far superior to what it was in Anoeta. Outside, what you've got in Amara is a long avenue called Avenida Madrid, which kind of culminates in Anoeta. So when you're right at the top of the avenue, you can see Anoeta from quite a long way away. It becomes almost like a sort of pilgrimage, if you like. So people do tend to walk down Avenida de Madrid. All the buses going down there on the match day are all going to Anoeta. It's the same destination. And they kind of stop at the bottom and they spew all the people out onto the streets, and everybody coming out of those buses, of course, is going to the match. They all sort of spew out and go into the bars. There are two typical bars. One's called Bar Venta, it's opposite the ground. Another one's called Bar Shanti, which is to the right of the ground. There are Venta people and Shanti people. And, of course, you've got the hot dog stands, you've got the churro stands, you've got the sweet stands, you've got people coming and going, scurrying like insects to the ground, making a lot of noise. And in that sense, it's very much, you know, the same. Again, in we're in the Basque country here, so you'll hear two languages. You'll hear a lot of people speaking Basque. A lot of people do speak Basque, Euskera in San Sebastián. You'll hear people speaking Spanish. You get this mixture of languages when you're inside. And the public announcements are made. They're always made first in Basque and second in Spanish. That's just the way it is. That's absolutely fine. But, you know, I wouldn't want to suggest that Real Sociedad is some kind of snobby upper-middle-class club. It's not. Its supporter base is very wide and varied. I think, and there's as much keenness here as there is in a place like Bilbao. But what I mean is that, you know, when you walk into San Sebastian, you don't get that feeling that it's a football city necessarily. You know, you've got to know about it. When you walk into Newcastle or you walk into Bilbao, there's just that smell in the air about, well, this is a football city. You don't get that in San Sebastian, and I think that's because of it's a very beautiful city. It's, you know, the Rio of Spain, if you like, and so that's not the first impression you get. Nevertheless, you know, the Real fans would hate me to suggest that they were any less enthusiastic than, for example, Athletic Bilbao fans towards their club.
Thanks for that, Phil. This then has been the story of Real Sociedad. I want to thank everybody who's contributed to this episode. That's Paco Pollitt, Roman de Arquer, Matt Clark, and Phil Ball there. I've been your host, and we are La Liga Lowdown. You can find us online and on social media. For now, thanks for listening to this episode, and we hope you'll join us again soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.